Good morning. Glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and especially glad to welcome visitors and guests who are here with us. We're glad you're here and hope you'll come back and visit with us again. We've got a lot coming up, y'all. You need to look into your Go and Serve, things about Fresh Expression, the tailgate / chili cook-off, the flu shots, all that information about all that stuff is in your Go and Serve, and we hope that you will take a look at those. Sarah was just reacting that after you eat the chili, you might need the flu shot. Is that what you're saying? I also got a note. The Elizabeth Circle will be meeting at Nancy McKinney's tonight at 6:30. And speaking of Elizabeth Circle, I understand we have another Welka announcement that needs to be made. And I think, Martha, I'm calling on you. Yes.
On behalf of our Welka, we're having our overall meeting on October the 3rd. I know even if you're not in Welka, ladies, that's okay. You still consider part of it. The fun thing is we're having a surprise, a shower for Ginger Lynn McCoon. She thinks that she's coming to talk about her life as a pastor. Well, we're going to have it in pink because we're having twin girls. And so if you would like, I saw it on Facebook. There's a sign-up sheet out in the narthex on the table, so if you'll please sign up so we'll know how much food to fix. But it is 6:30, October the 3rd. It's a Monday night, so everybody, ladies, you're invited. And gentlemen, if you want to come, just sign up. And you do.
So I'd have the opportunity to come to a baby shower. Get out of my way so I can go sign.
Did you hear that, Dan? It is getting practice now.
Let's clear that up. You're talking about our children might have children, not us. I'm going to move on to the next announcement. What was the date one more time?
October 3rd.
October 3rd at 6:30, and there's a sign up. All right, so we've talked a little bit about all the things that are coming up. Let's talk about what's happening today. Shannon. Question, but I'm going to see you right now. The Leisure Timers meet on Thursday in the big room, and they were asking about that. And I said, I didn't think that was a problem. Okay. Yes, you got that? Okay, good. Today also begins our annual stewardship campaign, and I'll call on Vicki and Preston to begin talking about that.
Our stewardship campaign this year's theme is Let Your Light
And now, here's Sarah. Sure. Thank you. I'm glad you said that because I saw on the Facebook that you went to your very first rodeo last night.
I did. I'm really embracing the country.
All right, let us prepare for our worship.
Glory, glory.
Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the only Sovereign who dwells in light, Christ Jesus who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit who lives within us.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. We are home in God's mercy, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of all worlds.
Overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, "It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth"? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, for that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
See. A husband and wife were getting ready for bed one evening. The wife was standing in front of a full-length mirror taking a hard look at herself. "You know, dear," she said, "I look in the mirror and I see an old woman. My face is all wrinkled, I got fat legs, and my arms are all flabby." She turned to her husband and said, "Tell me something positive to make me feel better about myself." He studied hard for a moment, thinking about it, and then he said in a soft, thoughtful voice, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight." Services for the husband will be held on Saturday morning at... We don't always like what we see when we look in the mirror. But we have been created in the image of God, and we ought to like what we see there. Once I was teaching a confirmation class about what it means to be the image of God. One of the ways I chose to approach that topic was to give those 7th and 8th graders paper and markers and to have them draw a picture of God. I remember the intriguing results. One student drew a ghost-like figure because he believed that God was not contained in a body, but was everywhere. Another drew God standing on top of the world, and God had large muscles indicating that God was powerful and ruled the world. One girl drew God as a woman. Another student put a variety of skin colors on his picture of God to show that God was for everyone. Just about everyone showed God smiling. And apparently, just about nobody believed there are haircuts or razors in heaven, because God was most often pictured with long hair and a beard, usually wearing a robe. We had an interesting discussion with something important right at the very heart of it. You see, before we can know what it means for us to be in God's image, we have to know first what God is like. So what is God like? Well, today we have an intriguing clue in a pretty odd place. You know a lot of the story behind and around the events described in our Old Testament lesson today, but you've probably never paid much attention to this little part of the story. You know how God freed the people from slavery in Egypt and how the water divided for them to cross the Red Sea. And you know how they wandered in the desert and how they eventually came to Mount Sinai. You're familiar with the fact that Moses went up the mountain to be with God and to get the Ten Commandments, and that he was up on that mountain for a very long time. And you know how all the people camped around that mountain grew tired of waiting, and how they melted their gold and made a golden calf to worship instead of the God who had led them to freedom. Well, it's right about then that our scripture lesson for today picks up. God said to Moses, "Go down and look at what your people have done. They obviously aren't my people. After all I've done for them, look at the false god they have made. Go down and leave me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume this worthless bunch." Well, it's kind of hard to argue with that, isn't it? They did deserve God's wrath. God had every right to feel betrayed and forsaken and angry and hurt. But Moses did argue back with God. And this is how he did it. First, he says, "Look, God, you brought your people out of Egypt, and everybody knows it. If you destroy them out here, everyone will say that you are an evil God." So what Moses is really saying is this: God, how do you want to be known? How do you want to be perceived? And then he pushed it further, and this is the real kicker. Moses said, "Remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how you swore to them by your own self that you would bless them. Remember that and turn from your wrath." What Moses called on God was to be true to himself. Moses called on God to look to the heart of his very own nature and to act with forgiveness, salvation, and love. And God did. And Exodus reports it very simply. "And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." Forgiveness, salvation, and love. Those are the things at the very heart of who God is. It's God's nature to forgive. It's God's nature to save. It's God's nature to love. My goodness, isn't that just what the stories Jesus spoke today were all about too? What kind of shepherd would leave his whole flock in order to search after the one sheep that has wandered off and gotten lost? Only a fool of a shepherd would do that, unless the shepherd just couldn't stand to do nothing, unless the shepherd just had to search for the lost, just had to save, just had to love. Or what woman would spend all night and day looking for a lost dollar and be so excited when she finally found it that she throws a $1,000 party for the whole neighborhood to celebrate with her? Only a crazy woman would do that, unless it was her nature to search for the lost, her nature to save, her nature to love. And even more, in finding, in saving, and in loving, to rejoice and celebrate in the reunion. That's the kind of God we have, Jesus said. We know what God looks like. to search and forgive, to save, to love. That's the very heart of God's nature. That's what God was like then. That's what God is like now. And no matter where we have gone, no matter how far we have wandered, no matter what false gods we have chased after, God will be true to himself. God will seek us out and forgive us. God will find us and save us. God will hold us close and love us always. Get the picture? Better yet, let the picture get you. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God, we are lost without you. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your generous love, which comes to us no matter how far we wander away from you. Walk with us in every moment of life, that we may be brought close to you always. Lord, in your mercy. Living Savior, there is so much in our lives that needs redeeming. Forgive us of our wrongs. Forgive us of the good we failed to do. Lead our hearts in true repentance and our lives in following your way. Lord, in your mercy. O God of comfort and hope, 15 years ago our world changed. We have learned to live in fear. We have become used to a world where we look for enemies rather than a world where we try to become friends. We need your peace in many ways. Give us peace from our fears and give us peace in our relationships. May we find the way to be brothers and sisters in your grace, seeking not to tear down or destroy, but to build up in love. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, bring your compassion on all who are hungry, who are poor or ill, all who are lonely or far from home. Bring your healing, your help, and your strength to uphold us. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Serving Savior, as you came to save us and teach us about your love, guide us to live lives of love for others. Open our hearts, work through our hands. As we have received from you, may we give to others. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share Christ's peace.
Oh,
us pray. Merciful God,
as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills,
we're gathered together to become one bread.
So let your church be gathered together
from the ends of the earth
into your kingdom.
For yours is the glory, through Jesus Christ,
now and forever.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The body of Christ given for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We come again to you, O God, giving you thanks that in this feast of mercy, you've embraced us and healed us, making us one in the body of Christ. Go with us on our way, equip us for every good work, that we may continue to give you thanks by embracing others with mercy and healing. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
sorry?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine.
Thanks, Bill, for asking.
Thank you. Kathy and Alan didn't do that. They didn't know to do that. They didn't get that special trip. They wish they had.